Hello, friend. Thank you for tuning in to the Random Intricacies from an Animate Object. I'm Juan. I'm happy you're here. Welcome to your 15-minute mental reset. Let's get started with a quick mental exercise. I'd like to give you a moment to really focus on what your day has been like or what the rest of your day will be. If it's going to be bad, you're going to visualize it ending on a high note. And what would it take to get there? I'm going to give you a few seconds of reset time, of course, with some infamy beats in the background. And welcome back. Okay, let's get to it. Today, I've been bombarded by the reality that although, for the most part, there are so many ways that I'm in control where I'm headed, mostly, I noticed in even more ways that everything is just so random. And it's almost poetic how things happen to some people. We call it fate. I'm noticing that it could all just be random, especially in the way it maneuvers and set things up for life-changing moments. I've always been a fan of that concept, really, partly because I'm wired that way too. And aren't we all? For me, I love calling it organized confusion. I've always have. And honestly, I think my brain is wired to behave this way. And we're always looking to fix certain things. In this case, I'm not looking to fix what's not broken to me. Maybe I'm here to interpret what you and I are experiencing and just saying out loud, for the both of us to hear from this perspective. I guess I'm saying this because now that I'm older, I realized that I was in some really dangerous situations. And mostly it was because I was in a shady city. We grow up in, you know, we grow up in places like that and knowing people from places like that. And I'm shaking my head thinking about how dangerous some of those situations were. And I'm not going to front, most if not all of them were just wrong place, wrong time. And isn't that the slogan for exactly what I'm referring to? In this story, there's no plan. There was no reason for us to be in this position, but there were a few lessons learned, and some I just learned today, which might have been the most important one of all. This story begins in a really hot summer of 2001 in August. I was dating this Dominican girl close to where I lived, and we were pretty inseparable at the time. We also interacted a great deal with her family from New York at the time. Let's call it Queens. She had cousins that were like sisters to her. And you know what a prima hermana is like for you if you're Dominican. And what really attracted me to her was that she knew what loss was. So we bonded due to that. And I like that she liked having her family around, her cousins around, because I was the same way. And they would come here. We would go on drives to go pick them up, and we would go to eat at places, show them where we live. New Yorkers, it's like they're always the people you want to impress for some reason when they used to come and visit. Was I the only one who observed this? Anyway, so that summer in August, I didn't have a car, but I still wanted to meet up with my girl because she was headed out to the city to stay with her family. And I always hung out with my best friend. We're going to call him France. And my cousin, and we'll call him Crash. And my other cousin, we'll call him White. As inseparable as I was with my girl, I was equally the same with them that summer, with France, Crash, and White. So they agreed to take me to Queens. I remember we took the scenic route, and there was this big traffic jam. And it was almost like the traffic jam was in such a random spot. It's almost like there's something telling us not to go. When we get there, the plan was for us to park and then basically take the subway anywhere we needed to go. My friend France was only going to drive us there, and then he was going to leave with White. And I swear to you, when people tell you to listen to your gut, you don't know your gut is speaking to you in the moment. You just know that when you're young, it's young love. And I had to be with her. So we got there, we parked, and we managed to find a spot really in the same block to where their brownstone was. This is a typical New York City neighborhood, mostly a minority population. The prideful New York that we always hear about, let me tell you, it's a lot faster than anyone could ever prepare you for. If you picture that type of neighborhood with people on the stoops, music blasting on every corner, cars with their mufflers loud as you already know, bodega is just about on every corner, and you got a Torres, a Reyes, a Rodriguez Brothers grocery. So we meet up with my girl, we'll call her C, and her cousins, we'll call her Astrid and Sansa. Obviously, those aren't the real names. I suck at this. So Sansa, who is C's favorite cousin, is dating this guy. Let's call him Bob. We're all hanging out, and they show us where they stay. Now, the plan was for me and Crash to leave when the last train in New Jersey left the station in New York. So we get something to eat, and France and White tell us, okay, we're leaving. And something told me we should have left. Again, my gut. When we get back to their stoop, C or Sansa, I can't remember which one, thought it would be a good bonding experience if me and Crash went out and hung out with Bob and his friends. And I think since they were close cousins, they wanted their boyfriends to be close at the time. Stop doing that. They could be cordial. We don't have to be best friends. Since Bob was from the neighborhood, you know what? Why not? It was right next to the corner bodega, and it was still early. One thing about me and Crash is we get along with anyone, but this just felt different from the moment we left that stoop. So we walk down the street. We're greeted by some guys standing up against the bodega across the street in the corner. We're hanging out there, about eight of us now, in this random circle. It's almost of like we migrated in our places on cue. As if we were there. And as we were there, some of those guys were talking about a party happening around 8 o'clock. And that we should go, and we still have time to make the train back. Crash and I were a little naive to think that this was a good plan. Another thing I should mention is I had the shittiest phone probably on the planet at the time. My girlfriend and I had the Sprint ones. It was a 2-for-1 special deal. So I couldn't search for train times, proximity. I had to go by what 25 New Yorkers overruling each other, directions telling me. So we said screw it, and we hung out on this porch, and Bob and his friends, who somehow doubled down to about 15 people. I mean, where I'm from, we hung out with people, and there was a big group if we wanted to. But again, this was just so random, too random. But then again, was it? I'm sitting on this porch at the bottom step with Crash. Bob is at the top step with two guys. And two other guys come walking with their arms behind their backs. I swear, this scene is still frame by frame in my head. Did I mention that as they crept up, there was also a bakery truck full of more of them that unloaded with people? And they also all said a gang slogan. And the two that were walking close with us, they were pulling a gun from behind them. I couldn't tell you what anything else looked like. Me and Crash were already halfway inside the door. Different city, same instincts. That you don't forget. So we tell Bob, what the hell, Bob? What's going on here? We literally just met you. I swear to you, Bob was the calmest, most convincing psycho you'd ever met. The calm weirdly rubs off on you and you trust him for some reason. Plus, we weren't from there, so we were at his mercy until we can find a way back to C. So when we leave the building, there's a few guys on the roof. And I swear to you, they signal to Bob and they point at the car. Like straight out of a movie, this man puts his hand under the fender and pulls out a knife from behind the front tire. Was this knife always there? What in the world did we get ourselves into? Was this random? Because I had no idea what choices I made that got me there. Or did I? So we managed to walk to the corner, and Crash and I say, dude, we're heading back to the house where it's safe and we can get the hell out of here. It was about 7:30. And at that same moment where he was going to relent and say, okay, let's go back, bam, randomly, the other guys that were in that tribe circle that we had in front of the bodega, they come back and tell us they're on the way to the party. And naturally, we chose to say yes, because why not? We get to this party in one of those New York buildings you see on TV with the tiled hallways and the wide, steep steps. Now, this party was a lot of fun. Bob's friends, Crash and I had a lot of fun and we felt like we bonded. So we decided, you know what? We had a lot of fun. It's time to leave. And they all agreed, so we left. When we were headed back, we were all joking, interacting with strangers. As we walked block by block, it was more like we were all best friends. Until we weren't. So the bakery truck gang comes back. And it turns out that some of the guys that were with us, they were actually part of the bakery truck gang. So literally, they turn around in our group and say their gang slogan, which I swear this is like out of a movie. We were literally surrounded, but Bob was their main focus. So Crash and I, we managed to like maneuver it so we can get them everybody out of there. We went down the street, and in our desperation, frenzy, straight up chaos moment of thought, we decided we would turn in the opposite direction. So when we were running down the streets, we turned. We were about half a block up before we realized we weren't following each other. I got to where C was, but I told her I had to get back for Crash. At that point, she was so confused and I hadn't explained a damn thing, except the realness of what was happening was written on my face like a billboard. I ran back to find that they had surrounded Crash, but by the time I got there, they realized we weren't really affiliated with any of this, and Bob was up to his typical nonsense again. But they did give us a warning. When we get back to C again, we explain the entire situation with Bob putting his variable spin on every story. We were also caught up in the moment that we missed the last train in New Jersey and we had to stay a night at Bob's apartment. And although we almost died there, at least it was only a block away, right? Turns out his house was about 20 blocks from there and he didn't have a car. A New York City block. We walked with a target on our backs for 20 blocks. Where at night in New York, you know the switch turns on. And what was Bob doing during our walk? Trying to find an open vehicle every block he came across. Until at one point, me and Crash said, dude, screw this. You're on your own. And he ended up convincing us because his house was literally across the street. When we got to his apartment, Crash and I basically looked at each other and gave each other the nod like, we're not sleeping. Don't worry. I got you. Collectively. At one point, I remember Bob with a screwdriver on the stove, heating up the tip and then walking to the window and scraping it against the end to sharpen it and talking to us the entire time. And he already had a knife in his waist. We were locked in with a psycho. And the first train in New Jersey wasn't for a few more hours. When the sun came up, Crash and I sprinted out of Bob's house and ran to C's cousin's house to bid our farewells. Crash and I boarded a train to New York Penn, then to New Jersey Transit, then home. It's funny, I don't remember a thing about the way back. Not the ride or anything. I honestly don't know what happened with Bob or if that ever worked out with Sansa. I don't think it did. After that summer of 2001, C and I grew apart and didn't really see each other much for a while after. I'll always remember that because of how close I came to being caught in the crossfire, something that happens to so many kids today. I was 18 at the time to think about what I would have lost or what Crash would have lost. Crash and I really haven't spoken about this in a long time, and I don't think that many people knew what went on that night. There's a movie called Judgment Night with Emilio Estevez, Cuba Gooding Jr. that came out a long time ago, and if I could equate how quickly and how seemingly random this night really was, that movie could provide a bit of context for how this was. But Spanish people. I knew better, but I didn't make the right choice when I was given a chance each and every time. I got lucky. I really think Crash and I dodged a grave situation. We were guarded by something that day. I look back now and say, wow, how many of our little cousins or nieces or nephews or are going through these type of events, and we don't know about them. I never told my mom about that whole situation because at that point it was just a book that I needed to learn from but didn't really need to share with anyone. After that summer, I learned to trust my eyes and my gut because I'd rather my gut be wrong than it be right and I didn't listen. Ignorance is bliss, but it's also blind. I think Bob did me one of the biggest favors in my life, and wherever he is, I thank him. The lessons I take from that night, I'm still dissecting and learning from them. It's why out of all of August in my lifetime, there are many I'll never remember. But there will always be that random summer day in August. The greatest one? Now I'll always know the last train to New Jersey. On that note, we're at time. I'm sure we can go on longer, but this is the perfect opportunity for you to take this conversation offline. Find a friend or a stranger and discuss. If you're wondering, this episode and all of the episodes for this show, the music is produced by Infamy. For Elite Production, please make sure to visit www.infamysounds.com. I'm Juan Gordon. You're listening to the Random Intricacies from an Animate Object. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.